This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ball with 12 seconds left. Picked up now. They're chanting Thompson's initials into the closing moments. 5 seconds left. Puck out of the zone, and that is going to do it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Carolina. We are all square heading to the Tar Heel State. Final score, Washington 3 and Carolina 1.
John Walton on Caps Radio last night with the final seconds of Washington's Game 2 series evening win over Carolina. Really good win, totally different from Game 1 after the first period, which felt like an extension of Game 1. But starting in Period 2 last night, the Caps were clearly the better team, and it paid off as they go back to Carolina for Game 3 tomorrow night. Sean McDonough was on the call last night for ESPN. That didn't make a lot of you happy for some reason. He'll be on with us at 12:30 today. Today is mock schedule teaser day. 11 a.m., an hour from now, I'll give you my Washington mock schedule season opener and one other significant mock schedule game for Washington, and then we'll do most of it on Monday, although I'll have some of it out this weekend on my podcast. But I do want to mention, I have seen some of the leaked games, and I will be honest with you, I finished my mock schedule yesterday, right after the show, in fact. I spent some time working on it, finished it up, and those leaks sometimes are right, and sometimes they're dead wrong. I had Mike North from the NFL office. He's one of the key people involved in making the schedule on the show roughly a month ago. You're going to hear a lot of what he said about Washington and how they're viewing Washington this year and Washington on holidays, Washington in prime time, and what he thinks about all of these leaks on the schedule that start coming out a few days before the schedule comes out. The schedule officially comes out on Wednesday of next week, but on Monday, the NFL will start to leak some of the, not leak, announce some of their highlighted games for the year. So 11 a.m. for my mock opener and one other significant mock scheduled game, but you'll hear Mike North and some of the things he told us a month ago, the key schedule maker, on the show coming up in this hour. This from Henry via email. Henry writes, Kevin, saw that you're having Sean McDonough on the show today. I know you and know you won't pass up the opportunity to ask him why he's so biased against the Caps. Let him have it, Sheehan. So we'll get to the game last night, but I wanted to start with this because Max texted me early in the game last night. and suggested that maybe fans believe that Sean McDonough, I think you sent me a tweet from Grant Paulson.
That I did, yes.
And others were sending me various tweets and suggested that Sean McDonough's super biased. Now, let me just tell you, I'm a massive Sean McDonough fan. I have been. Those of you who have been listening for years, I can't get enough over the years of playing his highlight of the fumbled punt in the Michigan-Michigan State game about 8-9 years ago. I think he's just flat out one of the best play-by-play guys in the sport. I think he's one of the most versatile play-by-play guys in the sport. The one thing I've always really enjoyed about Sean and his calls of games is he's a little bit unique in that as a play-by-play guy, and this isn't for every play-by-play guy, and it's not for everybody out there, but he actually injects opinion into the broadcast, which for some play-by-play people, that's like a no-no. You're there to call the game, and the analyst is there for the opinion. But Sean's done that on football. He's done that, everything that he's, you know, called over the years. I actually like it because I think he's got a very, very sharp view and opinion on almost everything that he calls. But I heard this a little bit after game one, and I then really tried to listen very carefully last night. Guys, I'm not hearing it. The Caps sucked in game one. They were horrible in the first period last night. What do you want him to do? Like, he is calling the game. He is prone to injecting some opinion into it. But once the Caps flipped the game, I didn't feel like that there was any bias. I think this is a fan thing. I used to jump on a lot of you because I didn't feel the same way. Look, I think there have been times when I felt like, you know, the announcer's been biased in calling a game. I do think, I'm sure that I've probably said that over the years. But the worst of all time in terms of fan reaction to an announcer of one of our team's, you know, games, Troy Aikman. Nobody took more heat when he called Washington games than Troy Aikman. By the way, Philly fans felt the same way about him. Giant fans felt the same way about him. There was a built-in assumption that Troy Aikman, because he was a Cowboy, could not be objective, could not be biased, could not avoid bias. I never felt that way about Troy Aikman. In fact, I had him on the show years ago. It was before one of a game that he was calling. It was on the pregame show that I did for 13 years. And he was a guest from the booth right next to me that particular night. And I asked him about that, and he said, oh, my God. He's like, Washington, they are, you know, Washington, Philly, and Giant fans, they can't stand me. But I get that going in. He said, the irony of that is I want Washington to be good again. He said, I remember what it was like when they were good. I want them to be good. I want these games to be much bigger games between Washington and Dallas. And I always felt, and I would say this, I heard that coming from Aikman when he did games. And look, I don't go into that thing objective either. I'm, you know, I can be slighted just as easily as many of you. I never felt that way about Aikman, though. I always thought he was excellent as an analyst and never felt like he was a Skins, you know, hater at all. And he told me that particular day or night that he wants the NFC East to get back to its heyday where all the teams are good. And he specifically, you know, pointed out Washington. So, look, I'm not the Caps fan that some of you are, okay? I've admitted that over the years. It's the one team of the pro sports teams in town that I just don't have and never have had. I don't know what the reason for it is. It's probably because I'm just not a hockey guy, but I've never had this incredible Caps passion. All right, I love the NHL playoffs. I love the intensity. I stayed up last night. I had the Vegas Edmonton game on last night as I was falling asleep, but I couldn't fall asleep. Max, did you stay up and watch the Connor McDavid move the pass to Draisaitl in overtime?
It's so funny. I was in the exact same position as you. I was laying in bed. I found it. I went to overtime. I was like, all right, let me put this on my phone. And I kept, like, my eyes started getting a little droopy, but every time they started getting droopy, a big play would happen. So it was, yeah, it was an electric game last night, late.
So intense. And, you know, I wasn't planning. I'm not saying that I was planning on watching Edmonton-Vegas last night, but the basketball game was a one-sided beatdown last night, and there was only one game on. And I flipped it in bed, and I'm like, it's 4-4. You know, in the third period. Let's see if this thing goes to overtime because there's nothing better. And it was such a dramatic game. So many opportunities for the game to end. And then if you haven't seen the highlight of Connor McDavid's move in overtime and then the pass to Dreisaitl, who I think led the league in scoring, right? Or led the league in goals. Am I right about that? I think he did.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I think that's the name that kept popping up every time I went to search to see where Ovechkin was.
I think it was Dreisaitl and Nylander were the top two goal scorers.
Is Dreisaitl the leading goal scorer in the postseason?
That sounds right, but I'm not.
Because I think that was his fifth playoff goal. Edmonton has won now, I think it's six games in a row. They were down 2-0 in their first round series. They won four straight, and they've won the first two in Vegas. Anyway, but moving back to the subject, that was a phenomenal sports drama, that game last night. Hockey in the playoffs is great. But anyway, I've never been the Caps fan that I am the Redskins or Wizards or, you know, even Nats fan that I am. In order, Skins, Terps, Hoops, all right? 1-1A, and I put them in either order you want. It depends on how, you know, on the year and the feeling. It's probably Terps basketball number one for me, followed by the Skins, followed by probably Terps, the Wizards, then Terps football, and then the Nats. It's probably that order. I'm not a big Caps fan, so maybe I'm not feeling what many of you are, but I honed in last night, periods 2 and 3, after Max texted me and a couple of other people, I saw reached out to say, wow, this guy, I didn't hear it. Did not hear it. So, Henry, you're not going to get, you know, me drilling Sean McDonough for being biased because I don't hear it. I think it's a fan reaction. I think it's fan sensitivity, personally. I think he's excellent. And I thought as the game went on and the Caps turned the tables on the game, especially the way he, you know, lauded over and over again Tom Wilson, who was outstanding in the game last night. I'm not saying that you're wrong because there's a different level of sensitivity here because I'm not the hardcore Caps fan that many of you are. I didn't hear it, man. I just didn't. I think he's effing great at everything he does. He'll be on the show with us at 12:30. So, Wilson last night, you know, I mentioned about game one on Tuesday that even for non-hockey people, if you're a sports fan, you could watch that game and know, wow, one team was much better than the other. Regardless of what the final score was, 2-1 in overtime, one team completely dominated the action. Last night, you don't have to be a hardcore hockey person to know that Tom Wilson was incredible in that game last night. He's such a physical presence, I know, always. But he ended, you know, the game with, you know, an empty netter. He had in the game 2 points, that empty netter plus the assist on the Carlson goal. He had multiple hits. He had, I saw this stat. Tell me that this is wrong. He was diving all over the ice all night long blocking shots. And I saw statistically he was given just 2 shot blocks in the game.
Yeah, I don't know how it
seems light.
It does, because he was flying all over the place, throwing his stick around. Like, that was the big thing for the Caps MO last night, just not letting Carolina breathe at all. And anytime they tried to get the puck in front of the net or in the center of the ice, like for to set up a shot, they were just throwing sticks out there. And it worked a very high percentage of the time. So 2 blocks seems really low. But Trevor Van Riemsdyk, Matt Roy, they have been like defensively. Caps have been crazy good against Carolina. I think they had like 30-plus blocked shots again for that. So that's,
well,
2 games.
Well, that's also because they're getting outshot attempted again, right?
For
The numbers weren't as – in the first period, the numbers were almost 4-1. They finished 3-1 in game one.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started to really even up. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no,
I just thought that Wilson had more – should have been credited with more block shots.
For sure. But yeah, it's just the sacrificing, like, because blocking those shots does not feel good at all.
Yeah,
especially when you're getting hit on the legs or in the calves with no padding whatsoever. It's just, it's a grind. And the Caps are showing no fear. They're playing like a playoff team right now. Like, the adjustments that they made to just, like I said, not let Carolina get any breath. Like, they stymied him on the zone entries a couple of times. Just didn't let them get the puck in front. They just weren't letting them. They weren't letting the Canes get in front of Logan Thompson, get easy looks.
Yeah, the first period though was just an extension of game one.
Absolutely.
I'm like, what's going on here? Like, this can't continue,
for
and
sure.
It didn't.
Yeah,
and it didn't. And I thought Logan Thompson was great. You mentioned Van Riemsdyk. That save that he had on the 2-on-1. It was literally almost a 3-on-1. Where he knocked that pass down and broke that opportunity up. There were a couple of missed big opportunities for the Caps. McDavid had
close enough.
McMichael had a goal, but then was it McMichael who missed the open net? There was an open net opportunity, or was that Beauvillier?
Yeah, it was Beauvillier. It went right to him. Like, he was right in front of the net, had it wide open, just couldn't lift
wide
it.
Open.
Yeah, anything.
Couldn't 72.
Get
anything
on it.
Yeah, that's Beauvillier, right?
Correct.
Yeah. But Wilson, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the best player for
far
the Caps on the ice last night.
Far and away. If you look at I'm a big charts guy, and there are NHL stat charts that go around after every game, and his bar was way bigger than anybody else's in terms of contribution.
Send me what the charts look like.
I'll send you the NHL
stat
card.
I
want to
look at the chart. Yeah. So, good win. You know, I don't know what it'll look like tomorrow night. These games tend to kind of feel like their own entities. You know, I did think that some of the conversation we had after game one with Joe B. and others, Emily Kaplan, who was on with us the other day, that the Caps did use Carolina's, you know, aggressiveness against them. Certainly, I think the first goal had something to do with that, the Connor McMichael goal. He's played very well in the postseason. I did want to ask you something, because one of the things that Sean McDonough and Ferraro pointed out towards the end of the game, I'm assuming this is the reason. Ovechkin, with a 2-1 lead, isn't on the ice because of defense, correct?
Correct. A lot of the times when he's out there, he's kind of hiding on whether it be on the wall or by the bench or on the blue line. He's hunting for scoring chances. He is not doing a lot that needs to be done on the defensive end, which, I mean, he's 39. Who knows? He might be a little bit older than 39, because who knows about Russian birth certificates, but that's a whole nother thing. It's just him, his age is showing, and it's against a really, really fast and quick Carolina team. So it makes sense that he wasn't out there.
All right. 1-1 going back to
1-1,
Carolina.
Baby.
Who knows what'll happen? But a good game, not as exciting and not as wide open as that game last night between Edmonton and Vegas. But good win for the Caps. And again, on the Sean McDonough thing, I really kind of honed in for those final two periods. After, actually, for the final, the back half of the first period after Max texted me. And guys, I'm not hearing it, honestly. I think this is a Aikman situation where it's just a little bit too hypersensitive. I'm not sure why you would think that he'd be overly positive towards Washington in his call of the game after the way they played in game one and played the first period last night. I think he's just calling it as he sees it. Although, again, I do admit, and it's one of the things I actually like about Sean McDonough, is that he does, more so than a lot of play-by-play guys, he does inject opinion into the calls of games. He does it football, basketball, hockey. I kind of like that. It's, you know, some would say it's a bit of a no-no for a play-by-play guy. I think a lot of those rules are way, you know, sort of old and outdated. Just like, you know, if you're a member of the media, you can't cheer at a game. Look, if you're there as a member of the media working, sitting in the press box, that's one thing. If you're a member of the media and you're there as a fan, you can do whatever you want. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into some schedule talk. So at 11 a.m., I am going to give you the mock, my mock schedule season opener and one other significant Washington game. But the lead up to that is to go back about a month when we had Mike North, who is one of the key people in the NFL office responsible for putting the schedule together. There's so much that he said that, you know, is worth listening to in advance of the schedule coming out next week. But what you're going to see between now and Wednesday, you're going to see a lot of leaks. He spoke to that. And you're going to see official announcements beginning Monday morning from the league itself. So you'll hear some of what Mike North told us a month ago when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.